Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action, Krishna Consciousness, text number 10. Brahmanyadaya karmani, sangam tyaktva karotiya, lipite nasa papena, padma patram ivambasa. Brahmani, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adaya, resigning, Karmani, all works, Sangam, attachment, Tyaktva, giving up, Karoti, performs, Ya, who, Lipyate, is affected. Na, never. Saha, he. Papena, by sin. Padmapatram, a lotus leaf. Eva, like. Ambasa, by the water. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. Purport. Here, Brahmani means in Krishna consciousness. The material world is a sum total manifestation of the three modes of material nature, technically called the pradhana. The Vedic hymns, Sarvam Yetad Brahma, Mundukya Upanishad 2, Tasmat etad brahma nama rupam anam chajayate Mundaka Upanishad 1-2-10, and in the Bhagavad Gita 14-3, Mamayonira Mahad Brahma indicate that everything in this material, in the material world, is a manifestation of Brahman. And although the effects are differently manifested, they are none different from the cause. In the Upanishads, it is said that everything is related to the Supreme Brahman, or Krishna, and thus everything belongs to Him only. One who knows perfectly well that everything belongs to Krishna, and He is the proprietor of everything that, therefore everything is engaged in the service of the Lord, naturally has nothing to do with the results of His activities, whether virtuous or sinful. Even one's material body being a gift of the Lord for carrying out a particular type of action can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. It is then beyond contamination by sinful reactions, exactly as the lotus leaf, although remaining in the water, is not wet. The Lord also says in the Gita, Mayi sarvani karamani sanyasyasya, resign all works unto me, Krishna. Conclusion is that a person without Krishna consciousness acts according to the concept of the material body and senses, but a person in Krishna consciousness acts according to the knowledge that the body is a property of Krishna and should therefore be engaged in the service of Krishna. Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva krotiya lipitena sabhapena padma patrami vambasa. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. Krishna consciousness means to develop the sense of being Krishna's eternal servant, and therefore develop the desire to utilize everything within our realm of desire in Krishna service. And for that, it takes a number of things. First, it takes the understanding of how Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Just to accept that Krishna is the proprietor of everything is good, but to understand how he's the proprietor, as we went over yesterday, naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manyate tatvavet pashan srinvans jigangri Pashan-shinvan, Sprishan-jigran, Ashnanga-chan, Svapan-svasan, Prajapan-umishan-amishan-api, Indriyar-ndiyar-teshu, Vartan-ta-iti-daryan, Pralapan-vishijan-grinan, Umishan-umishan-api, Indriyar-ndiyar-teshu, Vartan-ta-iti-daryan. Actually, everything is being controlled by the material nature, who's ultimately being controlled by Krishna. Therefore, when we talk about Krishna being the proprietor of everything, he's actually the proprietor of everything. The only thing we have is to accept that, or we can accept illusion. Now, it's not so easy to accept that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, because that's a consciousness. It's a state of consciousness to realize that. But when we're under the material influence, then we can accept it to some extent, but under the influence of illusion, we don't realize it, and therefore we don't fully accept it. So we have to understand that while we're in illusion, there's going to be some doubt. We may not consciously doubt it, just like no one walks around in the Hare Krishna movement claiming, "I don't believe in Krishna." But unless we meet Krishna, or as much as we've experienced Krishna, as much as we've understood Krishna by realization, or even theoretically, to that extent we accept Krishna as God. But when we look in the mirror, we generally, a conditioned soul, believes that I have something to do with this body. We don't think, wow, who's that? What has this got to do with me? How did I get here? No, we're pretty much identified with a gross and subtle body. And at the same time, we're trying to cultivate a sense of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, this idea to act without attachment means dutiful action. And therefore, in the beginning, adau, guru, ashraya. One has to accept some authority, a representative of Krishna, as one's authority, who should be connected with Krishna in this simple succession. And not just by some formal ritual, but actually has knowledge of Krishna. Therefore it is said, Guru mam acharya mam vijaniyam nava manyate kari chit namartya suya budyetu budyeta sarva deva mayo guru. That one should know the acharya as my very self. So we meet Krishna, first of all, through his representatives. Without developing a service attitude toward the representative, then Krishna doesn't reveal himself. And then it says, the guru teaches us to understand who the other representatives of Krishna are. That if we think, well, Krishna is far away in Goloka Vrindavan, no, Krishna is also in everyone's heart as the super soul, and he's being represented by his representatives. Therefore, to find out what he wants us to do, we have to find out through his representatives. And if we make that effort, then Krishna within the heart will give us the intelligence to understand what they want us to do. In other words, if we try to find out from Krishna directly, but Krishna may tell us something, but since we're working in a realm of dealing with others in this world, therefore Krishna wants us to do something in relation to this world with other people. So if we find out what Krishna wants us to do, then he'll tell us he wants us to find out what others want us to do, what his representatives want us to do, especially those who are authorities, because we've come here because we've rejected authority. Not exactly rejected authority. We've accepted the material energy as our authority. We can't reject authority completely because we're always subordinate. We've just accepted the three modes as our authority. So Krishna wants us to accept the devotees, his actual representatives, as our authority, and therefore it is said that we have to have some discrimination. Shiksha guru ke ta Krishna Swarup. Antaryami Bhakti Shresta Eduru. That one should also know that the Super Soul is also a representative of Krishna. That the best of the devotees and the Super Soul, they're called, oh, the Shiksha Guru is also a representative of Krishna. And that the best of the devotees and Antaryami, the Super Soul within our heart, there are Shiksha Gurus. Now there are two types of Shiksha Gurus, those who are situated in transcendence and see everything objectively. That is that they know exactly what Krishna wants us to do. And Krishna wants us to love him. I guess we figured that out. And for us, love means to do what Krishna wants us to do. We may not feel overwhelmed with ecstasy every time we clean a pot, or even we come and we chant Hare Krishna, or we worship the deity. We may not be rolling on the ground afterwards where there are sikhas standing on end. But that's love for us at this particular point, just doing what Krishna wants. Try to make the effort to find out what Krishna wants us to do. That's love. If you love someone, you might ask them what they want you to do. If you get married and you never ask your wife if she'd like anything, then the relationship will probably won't last very long. She tells you what she wants you to do and you say, I can't hear you. Can you speak a little loud? Sorry, I can't hear you. Well, don't even bother saying anything. No, there has to be some reciprocation. They ask you to do something. Can you take the garbage out? And you say, sorry, I'm too much in love with you to do those things. My feet are stunned in ecstasy. You take it out. No, love is shown by you do something to serve the beloved. And of course, you should also find out something about what the desires of the beloved are, because otherwise it may not be service. So that we find out through Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra. And the Guru is actually supposed to be a representative saying the same thing that Sadhu and Shastra is saying. And Sadhu is supposed to be saying the same thing that Guru and Shastra say. They're supposed to be the same thing. And they're all supposed to be saying the same thing that the Super Soul is saying. Then when we do that with the consciousness that we're not doing it to gain anything material, we're doing it because this is what Krishna wants us to do. Now, of course, we don't bother going through the trouble of finding out what Krishna wants us to do. Then, of course, we're not going to do it for Krishna because we couldn't care less about Krishna. We're just doing what I want to do. Of course, I may offer it to Krishna. That story of the person who's had a whole bowl of puff rice and he was walking and the wind came and blew all the puff rice away. And he said, Govinda Bhog. He offered it all as it was flying in the wind to Govinda. But that's not what we're supposed to do. Before we do the activity, we're supposed to meditate sincerely, trying to ascertain what Krishna would like us to do, what he'd like us to say, how he'd like us to think. We're supposed to use our intelligence for that. Then when we find out, when it becomes clear, but it takes a little bit of humility. If we think we already have the answer, then it was not going to work. Krishna won't tell us. If we think we already know, Krishna's not going to disappoint us by telling us something different. But we have to humbly investigate through Guru Sansha. And when it becomes clear, then when we act in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna, that's called acting without material attachment. In other words, we have to attach ourselves to the process of serving Krishna, which is the awareness of how Krishna is the proprietor, awareness of what Krishna wants us to do, and awareness of how he wants to do it. in such a way as to please him. Then if we have that, that's called spiritual attachment, and one has spiritual attachment, then material attachment won't exist anymore. But if we leave out guru, and we leave out sadhu, and we leave out shastra, and we try, unless you're directly talking to Krishna, which how that's possible is, I don't know. Because even Dhruva Maharaj, after 6 months of meditation and austerity, still he was following Narada Muni's advice. It didn't just happen spontaneously that one day he was walking along and he saw the super soul and say, "Hi, how you doing?" No, if we don't have direct contact with the super soul, which no conditioned soul has, then he has to go through not only guru, but sadhu and shastra. And not only sadhu and shastra, but also guru. None, all the three have to be there. And then we can get intelligence coming from the super soul. Then is the super soul, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. When we learn from guru and sadhu and shastra how to serve Krishna with enthusiasm, with proper consciousness, proper understanding, and therefore with enthusiasm and stability, consistency, then Krishna gives us more and more intelligence. How to do that? How to become more steady and more consistent in our service, more aware, more Krishna conscious. And when he sees that we're sincere in spite of all the obstacles, all the ups and downs in the material world, when he sees we're steadily engaged, like Prahlad Maharaj or the Pandavas, then he reveals himself to us directly. Then we can actually experience Tesham eva nukam paratam aham agyana jam tamaha nasham yam yatma bhavishto gyana dipena bhashvata. Then Krishna personally reveals himself, and then we become ecstatic, and we perceive everything as it actually is. And we see that Krishna is taking charge of my activities and my life. But that means, as Narada Muni said, as Dhruva Maharaj said, even when he met Vishnu himself, he said he didn't give up his relationship with Narada Muni. Because that relationship is eternal. We're eternally servants of devotees. It's not that we get to the spiritual world and it's me and Krishna and what are all these other people doing there? Why don't you go away? You're interfering with my relation with Krishna. You're taking up his time. No, in the spiritual world, we remain. We're eternally servants of Krishna's servants. And we don't directly serve Krishna, for the most part, especially those in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. They serve Krishna through serving Krishna's dear devotees. And that's a way of pleasing Krishna. And then that's called working without attachment, becoming attached to Krishna's devotees and service to them and in service to Krishna. Then one will not become affected by living in the material world, just like the lotus leaf is untouched by the water. But as soon as we give up, even we forget that we're servants of Krishna's servants, and we start thinking otherwise, then we become attached to so many things. We're not even aware of how attached we are. That's the nature of illusion. We think we're, somehow or another, we think we're great devotees, or we're devotees, or we're something special. And we may be completely, unless we're deeply absorbed in feeling ourselves to be Krishna's, the servants of Krishna's servants, then we're being affected by the illusory energy. So anyhow, we have to practice. We have to understand and then practice, and then gradually these things will be revealed to us by Krishna, according to our effort of trying to understand these things, trying to put them into practice, and gradually, with patience, execute devotional service with understanding and enthusiasm. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. As you mentioned, the service which we do, even also according to this, if you even do service without devotion, you just do it because you like do it, even though you don't have some special, how to say, affection of it, but you just do it because it has to be done. Without devotion, is that also devotional service? Like, so what? And what is that? So
you're doing it without devotion, and you're asking me if it's devotional service?
Yes.
Yeah, there's some element there. It's just like, you know, but how much of it is devotional service, and how much of it is, just like it says in Bhagavad Gita, gata sangasya muktasya gyanavasthita chetasa ijacharata karma samagram pravilite. The work of a person who's unattached to the most material nature and is fully engaged in devotional service merges entirely into transcendence. For him, Brahman is the offering. Brahman is the, what is it? Brahman yeva de karmani, Brahman. So which chapter is that? Brahman is the offering, Brahman is the result, and Brahman is sacrificial fire, this fourth chapter. Brahmarpanam brahma haivir brahmang no brahma hutam brahmaiva tena dikantavyam brahma karma samadina. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to obtain the spiritual kingdom because his full contribution to spiritual activities, which the consummation is absolute, that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So when we're actually unattached, well, this is the previous one, work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. So if we're not, as much as we're conscious of Krishna, as much as we're following the process of at least acknowledging that everything here belongs to Krishna, at least acknowledging that I should understand what Krishna wants us to do through his representatives, at least acknowledging I should be doing it with care and attention to please Krishna, as much as we put our transcendental expertise and discrimination into our service, and actually, to that degree, it's devotional service. And to the degree we're not, then it's just ordinary, it's just we're working under the modes of material nature that we're situated under. After all, we're in the stage of practicing. So sure, when a little girl is cooking, she has her plastic stove, and she has her plastic pots, and she has her plastic chapatis, and she's cooking. She's learning how to cook. So sure, you know, as much as she's carefully doing it, she's actually learning something. So when she grows up, she can actually do nice cooking. But if she just throws the pots around, and she, you know, eats some of the plastic chapatis, then she's not learning very much. And even when she grows up, she's not going to be a very good cook. So we're practicing now. After all, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Param. That when one reaches the stage of Brahman realization, he's always joyful, always. And he has no longer hankering and lamenting, and he sees everyone as Krishna's eternal servant, then he can begin real devotional service. So we're practicing now. So the more carefully we practice, then the closer we get to devotional service. To the extent that if we do even these five powerful processes, namely chanting with devotion, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, with concentration and devotion, worshiping the deities with devotion, serving the devotees, and living in a holy place with attention, with focus and attention and devotion, then we can experience some ecstasy. It's available to us. And if we're inattentive, we're uncareful, we're not, you know, then we will experience the modes of material nature more than we'll experience Krishna. If you, it's like the balance. If the devotion goes up, then the material consciousness goes down. And if the material consciousness goes up, then the spiritual consciousness goes down. So So it depends on us.
Can I have the second question? What's the difference between sadhu and guru? Isn't sadhu a guru, or guru also a sadhu, should be a sadhu?
Yeah, every sadhu is a guru, and every guru should be a sadhu. But there's a differentiation. There's a difference between the shiksha guru and the diksha guru. They're simultaneously one and different. Because you're only supposed to have one diksha guru, but you can have many shiksha gurus. But they're all supposed to be saying the same thing. They're all supposed to be cooperating with each other. So in that sense, they're one, but they're different simultaneously. To make it more complicated, to figure out, no, they're both representatives of Krishna. So that's what Krishnadas Kaviraj points out, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're both representatives of Krishna. So Krishna is one. He's not many persons. He doesn't have many things to say. It's not that he's in one person's heart as the guru, and he's in another devotee's heart as the shiksha guru, and they're having a conflict with each other. The same message of Krishna is there in both their hearts. But sometimes, because we're living in the world of conditioned living entities, sometimes amongst conditioned souls there appears to be disagreement. Therefore, and as it says, Rupa Goswami points out that there are 64 items of devotional service, and he gives the major detail, the major items, but there are also details. So there's variety even within spiritual life. Now, if, for instance, there are ado, guru, ashraya, the principle of accepting of a spiritual master and taking initiation and learning how to render service, devotional service, these are fundamental principles. Now, exactly what color the deity should be dressed in, there may be some difference of opinion. And therefore, when there is no reason for creating more of a disagreement than necessary, then we just follow the line of authorities. Now, in our society, it's a little unique in the sense that the guru should be cooperating with the authorities, not the other way around. In other words, when you have initiating gurus and you have 20 of them or 30 of them or more in a temple, it would be rather confusing if every devotee found out from their initiating guru what color to dress the deity today. No, we have to find out with the local authorities, because all of us were serving under Prabhupada, the founder Acharya, and the founder Acharya gave the final authority not to the Diksha Guru. He gave the service to the Diksha Guru to teach the disciples how to work cooperatively within the realm of the authority structure of ISKCON in order to spread Krishna consciousness, participate. So the initiating guru is not the final authority, and nor is the final authority is the local authorities, and they're supposed to be supervised by the GBC, and the GBC is supposed to take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions, his books. And it's not that what everything that they say is absolute. They may not be exactly get it right all the time. They may not exactly know what Krishna wants. But they have some opportunity, as much as they take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions and the Shastra, the books that he's written, and instructions and example, then they're, and the super soul, humbly trying to find out what Prabhupada wants, they're more likely to get it right than we are. But they may get it wrong also, and when they get it wrong, then they should try to correct it. And how do we know when they get it wrong? Well, Krishna will help. And material nature will help. As we can see, when we get things wrong, material nature definitely steps in and helps us out. As we can see in society right now, material nature is stepping in and helping people out, realize that their dreamland of happiness in this material world is not going to be fulfilled as long as they don't follow Krishna's instructions. Anything else? Yes.
When our Maharaj was asked a question about what Krishna wants us to do, he says he said something like that Krishna doesn't want from us anything material. When it comes to the specific content of our activities which we should do, he usually lets us to come up with some proposal, and then he says okay, then I conclude that Krishna might want us to do something that we want to do for him, or some devotees say that Maharaj would not bother with exposing you to the possibility of degradation before, if you are not qualified to follow some more specific order or instruction, so he doesn't give it. So that's another interpretation of his approach, which some devotees say. So can you comment maybe on that? Krishna does not want anything material, but we have to do something specific.
For Krishna, there's nothing material. I don't know. Krishna knows what he wants us to do. There may be different stages of consciousness, but he knows whatever stage we're on, he knows what the next stage is, and he wants us to go to the next stage. So he wants us to find out what the next stage is and how to get there. That Krishna wants.
So that's basically consciousness, whatever we are, in whatever we are engaged.
And Krishna also, for instance, Krishna wants everyone to come to the temple and hear about him. Whatever he says, I mean, he doesn't make his desires, you know, ambiguous or vague, so that no one could figure out really what Krishna wants. He says, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtan. Tat Srinu. Hear about me. So there are 9 processes of devotional service, which we'd be doing them all the time. And as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, when we're not doing those things, then it's a fall down. That's Nectar of Devotion. So anyone could read and find out what Krishna wants. Now, if we're not prepared to do that, then all right. Krishna says, Mayeva mana adatsva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivashi shashima eva aturavam nasam. Fix your mind upon me, engage all your activities in me. If you can't do that, atachitam samadatum, nisakshasi maestra. Then follow the principles of bhakti yoga. And this way, try to develop the desire to obtain me. If you can't do that, then work for me. And if you can't do that, then try to do something selflessly, you know, without material attachment. So, Krishna wants us to do something rather than just act like an animal. And say, well, I don't want to do any of those things. Well, good luck then. You know, material nature will tell you what to do. She's fully prepared to direct you. And is whatever we're at, whatever we're prepared to do, then Krishna to that extent will direct us. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandraj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.